As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Those words and that great commissioning we hear at the end of Matthew, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and that breathing on them, the Holy Spirit, those words and that Holy Spirit compelled those apostles to go out and preach the truth of who Jesus Christ is and to impart that Holy Spirit on others, that they would be reminded of all that the Lord had said and did and taught them for their salvation. Those words, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, compelled them. They compelled missionaries in all places and all times to go out and preach this good news. Those apostles, when they received that Holy Spirit, this is the very early church. There's no like institutional church yet. They're still considered like an offshoot of Judaism. So there's nothing earthly to gain from going out and doing this. Nobody could accuse them of, oh, you just want, you know, more money for the Vatican or something like that. They were going out. They had no pride to gain, no power or prestige. They simply were compelled to go out and preach who Jesus Christ is. The only things they could possibly expect to receive from that is maybe a beheading, a scourging, a crucifixion, just a little something for their troubles. But they were compelled. They could not stay behind. They had to proclaim Jesus and send this Holy Spirit upon them so that in truth all nations can say Jesus is Lord. Receiving this Holy Spirit released those apostles from fear. Now, they were in fear in that upper room. They were afraid of the unknown. They were afraid for maybe a loss of reputation, a loss of what's left of their good standing amongst their friends and family and society. But receiving that Holy Spirit gave them that strength and that power that they needed, and that is just simply unmistakable. And they gained their salvation. They gained their salvation and they won many souls for Christ, grafting many branches onto that vine, making many new parts of the mystical body of Christ. And those people say, aren't we Parthians and Medes, and we're from Pamphylia in Egypt? And we can hear this truth. We can hear it and understand it. And so that lets us know and it reaffirms for us that what is true is true everywhere. What is true is true everywhere. That Jesus is Lord and that he sent his Holy Spirit is true in Galilee and in Europe and in Asia, wherever their missionary journeys took them. It's true in the United States. It was true then, it's true now. That Jesus is Lord. And those who have received this Holy Spirit can profess this. The faith cannot be true in one place and time and not in another. But they did preach in their local language, using their local customs, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what was already known to these people in these far corners of the world, their language, their customs, these things that were known, was used to communicate to them the previously unknown. It was used to communicate to them who Jesus is and that he wants to give them his Holy Spirit too. This Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He is the sanctifier. He's the consoler. He's the advocate. We are made holy when we receive this Holy Spirit. We can then offer, as the Eucharistic prayer says, an acceptable sacrifice to the Father, uniting our offerings to the sacrifice on the altar. We are made holy by the Holy Spirit. He's the consoler. Who else is by your side but the Holy Spirit in times of trouble, in times of great difficulty, some bad news, a bad health diagnosis? Who do you know is by your side, and not only that, but dwelling right in you, you know, consoling you that all is not lost, or God has not forgotten any of this, reminding you of what our Lord said and did. He's the consoler. He is the advocate. So when the accuser likes to come back to us after we've made a good confession and remind us of those sins that we've done that we know we're forgiven of, there's the advocate standing next to us, defending us when no one else might want to defend us, reminding us that we have been absolved and those sins are gone, no matter what the accuser continues to try to remind us of. And if what's true in all places and all times is true everywhere, then so too in our own lives. You know, if what is true here in the church, and if what we say and do here in church is true and at Mass, then it must be true in our homes and at work. And so if we find ourselves saying Jesus is Lord in Mass at church, receiving the body of Christ, amen. And we're, you know, saying maybe, improper jokes at work or gossiping at work. Well, we say then, who has to change? Is the Holy Spirit who has to change, or do I have to change? If we can be nice and kind to, you know, friends and coworkers, but after a long, hard day at work, our spouse or our children receive, like, you know, the brunt of our anger or our frustration, does the Holy Spirit have to change, or do we have to change? If we find ourselves asking for mercy, especially from the Lord, and then are slow to give it, is it the Holy Spirit who needs to increase in mercy, or do we? If what is true for us here in this building at this moment is true, then it is true for us in all aspects of our lives. And it's that truth of who Jesus is and what he does for us and how he sends his Holy Spirit to sanctify us. If that is true, then let it penetrate every aspect of our lives and renew the face of the earth that way. We constantly now see news reports of a new bombing, you know, a new terrorist attack, or nearly every day in the Dispatch or in the Gazette about how Ohio, we're reminded again, Ohio is like the number one place for opiate deaths, overdoses. We see these things, these reports, and we read this in the newspaper, and we say, Lord, renew the face of the earth. When are you going to do that? You send your Holy Spirit again. John Paul II prayed over and over again for a renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a new Pentecost. And we read these things and we see this bad news and we say, when are you going to do it? We're waiting. And then the Holy Spirit who's living in us reminds us that this will be done, but attend to your life. Make sure the Holy Spirit is penetrating every part of your life so that what is true here is true when you leave. And that people can see that and know that you live with the Holy Spirit. That he sanctifies you, that he is your consolation, and in times of trouble, that he is your advocate. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he does not send us alone. He sends us with the Holy Spirit. So while the Easter season is now over, it's simply the beginning. You know, we've been rejoicing now for 50 days. We've had 40 days of penance in Lent, long forgotten. 50 days of rejoicing, just like receiving the grace that God's trying to give us from that penance. And now wait and see what he does in your life from this good preparation. The Holy Spirit is very real and very active. And Jesus sends him along with you to help renew the face of the earth.